This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, everybody. Alan Taylor here. A special broadcast today live from the SEMA show in Las Vegas. And the chairman of SEMA, Wade Kawasaki. You guys, you want to hear what's going to happen next year? Well, we got the chairman of the board coming up here. So are you guys having a great time here? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think I could probably throw away a few little things here. A few little knickknacks while we're waiting for Wade. You know? Come on up, Wade. The chairman of SEMA.
How's it going, everybody? There you go. Here, how's that?
There you go. All right. Wade.
Hey, Jason. Oh, you bribed Jason to get something.
You know what? It's irresistible, nice. Isn't it? Throwing stuff
it is.
Out.
That's too fun.
Well, hey, give it up for the chairman of the board of SEMA, everybody.
Hey, is everybody having a good show?
Dang right, man. How about you? Are you having a good show? That's the question.
You know what? I'm having a great show. It's been amazing. You know, when we have 1.2 million square feet of show to walk around, it's been great.
I heard something like 180,000 attendees or something.
Yeah, it's looking like that's going to be the final number.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. 2,400 exhibitors.
You know what? This may be the biggest one ever, right?
Yeah, it is the biggest one ever.
By far.
Yeah, it's the biggest show ever, but, you know, that's not what we're focusing on.
No, but it's nice.
Yeah, it's a byproduct. We actually have done what we can to make the show more relevant. So, actually, we're trying to make it smaller, and it just continues to get bigger.
Wait, how do you make it smaller?
Because, you know, what we did this year, I mean, one of the cool things at our new products breakfast was the fact that three companies were very first-time exhibitors, right, in little 10 by 10 spaces. So when we get that, right, we say, you know what, we don't want to give a booth to a guy that maybe, I don't know, makes flagpoles, but he really wants to be here.
Right.
But if we don't sell him a booth, and then we can have booths later on in the year
right.
for these little companies. So
what at some point do you do two SEMAs? You know, it's like, because you know what? It's like every 6 months, maybe. I mean, it's like, how could you possibly shrink this when it's trying to grow so much?
I don't know.
That's the big job you have this year.
Yeah, you know what? Those are all things that we talk about at a board level,
right.
Both extending days or, you know, or trying to make different days different things. But it's really tough.
I never, ever thought I would see something called SEMA Ignited.
Yeah.
Right? Open to the public.
Yep.
And what you guys have done out here. I mean, look where we're sitting right now.
Oh, this absolutely.
We would be sitting in the front of a bus right now.
Right. Oh, right? Absolutely. Yeah, this was just open space loading buses up.
Right.
And, you know, our marketing team at SEMA got super creative with the people from Shell who have just been great partners for us and came up with this concept. And, man, it's now like an iconic spot, you know, where people are saying, hey, I'll meet you at the Shell stage and then we'll go in.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing.
Or actually, well, I'm sorry, Alan. That's just because you're here.
Well, of course, yes. Of course. But you know what's funny? I see you all over the world.
Yeah.
This is a worldwide event.
Yeah, it is.
That culminates right here every year.
Yep.
And, I mean, I've seen you in, like, Australia and China and God knows where, and then fishing in Tennessee with a big bass that big. It's like, what?
Well, fishing in Tennessee, that's home, so
right.
that's where I'm having the most fun.
Right, exactly.
But I got to tell you, this year's SEMA show, we have thousands of buyers here, and I mean over 20,000 buyers are from 130 different countries outside of the U.S. So that's how the U.S. car culture has just absolutely proliferated all these other countries. And they really think that that's cool, that our car culture is so cool. And the nice thing about it is, Alan, is that these customers are younger. These consumers are much younger than here in the United States. So it really bodes well to the future of our industry.
No, on top of everything else, you have to be the president of Coker, the Coker right. Group, which is, I don't even know how many companies you guys have now. There's a lot going on
right.
there. And exhibiting here, too.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we have two booths inside. We have two tractor trailer rigs outside. It's a really busy show for us. But, you know, I got to tell you, this is, if you manufacture parts in the aftermarket, you have to be here. And it is absolutely a must for us. And those international buyers that I just talked to you about, those are one of the main reasons why we're here. And we have meetings with those folks, and it's really expanded our distribution.
We'll take a little break and come back with more here on the Pioneering Performance Stage, presented by Shell and Pennzoil. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be back in just a minute.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor, and the chairman of SEMA, Wade Kawasaki. Let's talk about the economy.
Sure.
The economy seems to be really good by the looks of this group.
Yep.
And so, I mean, what does that mean for next year? I mean, with the economy...
Yep.
Taken off,
mm-hmm.
more and more technology.
Yep.
I mean, what are your? Well, you guys are working at that level right now
right.
for next year's show already.
Right. So two pieces of that. Right. So we'll keep those two pieces separate. One, the economy ramping up. That's all good news. You know, and that's all good news for everybody. But we got to make sure that we're really focused on getting our fair share of that disposable income money. Because one of the cool things about our industry is there's not a part in that building that anybody has to have.
Right.
It's all stuff that everybody wants to have. And so our competitors aren't each other. Our competitors are LED TVs, our patio furniture, the new barbecue. You know, those are our competitors. So we're working really hard to make sure we continue to maintain our share. And on advanced technology, I'll tell you, the ADAS technology, the advanced driver assistance systems, that the ramp of that has been huge. I mean, you know, adaptive cruise control and lane departure warnings and blind spot monitoring, all of these things are on all the cars driving around now, and the consumers are really demanding that, right? They're saying, hey, this is a cool feature. Before, change happened so slowly in the automotive industry. This change is happening very, very rapidly. So what we're doing is we just commissioned a study, as you know, and that study is going to help our members to be able to use that as an opportunity and be able to build retrofit parts for the 200 million cars that don't have that technology. So it's just another great opportunity for SEMA.
So many people are always trying to scare us about, you know, they're not going to let us build hot rods. They're not going to let us race our cars. Let's talk about what SEMA does to make sure that our hobby stays what we love about it.
Right. You know, we've seen this over and over and over again, right? When OBD first came out, they said, oh, that's the end of hot rodding. And then, oh, when OBD2 came out, well, that's for sure the end of hot rodding. And then when the cars became more computerized, oh, that's the end of hot rodding. Well, that hasn't been the end of hot rodding, obviously, as you can see with the 180,000 people that are gathered here. We do a lot of things both on a state and a federal level. We actually have a SEMA office in Washington, D.C. that monitors all of these bills that are coming through to make sure that we don't end up being an unintended consequence of one of these bills. And as some of you know, one of those things just happened where the EPA put in some language in a bill that would have stopped us from being able to turn a federalized car or any street car into a race car.
Right.
And that has turned into our RPM Act, which we have a, both a House bill and a Senate bill pending right now. We should have hearings here right after Thanksgiving time, and we hope to be able to take all that language out of the Clean Air Act and actually just maintain the status quo that once a car is converted to a race car, it's no longer under the EPA's purview.
Well, Trump, love him or hate him, he's our president. He is a car guy, thank goodness.
He is, absolutely.
So I think we're pretty safe having SEMA watching over that, knowing there's a car guy in the White House, at least, right?
Well, yeah, and the big help, of course, right now is we have a Republican House, we have a Republican Senate, and we have a Republican in the White House. And whether you're a Democrat or Republican, that isn't really why I mentioned that. You could be either party and still be a car guy. But when you have that kind of consistency, it's a lot easier to get things done. So,
well, give it up. He's our chairman of the board for SEMA, Wade Kawasaki.
Hey, thank you very much.
Wade.
Appreciate all of you coming. And it's been a great SEMA show. Make sure you go over to SEMA Ignited. One thing that really wasn't publicized well is Max Verstappen and his Red Bull Formula One car are going to be out there doing some demonstrations out at SEMA Ignited. So,
how did they get that here so quick?
Yep. They left from Mexico and came right here. So his Formula One car is out there right now. They've been firing it up and warming it up. And I got the once-in-a-lifetime experience of getting in to sit in that car when they fired it up. And he's going to be doing a demonstration out at SEMA Ignited. It is not to be missed.
That is awesome. Wade Kawasaki.
Alrighty, thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Wade. All right, I'm going to take just a moment's break and be back with another great guest. This is the Pioneering Performance Stage at SEMA 2017. Be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Are you looking for a tool that can quickly change from sanding to cutting to scraping? Well, the Craftsman C3 19.2-volt multi-tool offers multiple uses with just one tool. The quick blade release feature allows you to easily exchange accessories with a simple lever rotation. Variable speed settings and two built-in LED work lights will help you finish a variety of projects on your to-do list. Pick up your Craftsman C3 multi-tool today. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
All right, coming up next, we have a guy that I won the Baja 500 with back in 2006, Larry Webster. Now at Hagerty, he was the editor-in-chief of Road and Track magazine. I've seen the ones where the guys are working on the engines and stuff.
Oh, yeah, so the Redline rebuilds.
There you go.
So we take, we've done this six times now. I'll give you one
crazy
example. We took a, actually in the woods in Traverse City, Michigan, they found a 426 Hemi engine. I kid you not, sitting in the woods. They drag it out, and then they tear it down, and they clean it up, and they film it all. They took about 60,000 photographs, and then we put it together to do like a time-lapse rebuild, put music to it. It's really fun.
You watch the rebuild of an engine from this dirty old chunk of coal to this beautiful engine that runs.
Yeah.
And the video is like 5 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
But it's huge amount of, and you watch this thing come back to life. It's brilliant. And I have to imagine it's got a few million views.
Oh, my gosh. It's got, between the two, it's got almost 10 million between Facebook
right?
and
Who
YouTube.
Who wants to watch an engine rebuild? But the way they did it.
Yeah, it was really artful.
Brilliant. It's like days worth of work. And the camera is not only fast speed, but it's like slightly moving. I don't know how the hell they did that.
Yeah, they really loved doing it. And I'll tell you a funny story about that. After we got the video done, and we said that we didn't have time to get the engine running before we had to get the video out. And so we said, okay, well, Facebook Live starting the engine. And I happened to be at dinner with the CEO, McKeel, who's, you know, over 30 years built up this company and its reputation and is very particular about it. So they start the Facebook Live. The engine's on a stand. It's got its fabricated intake manifold. And they start cranking it, and it doesn't run.
No, and,
yeah, no.
No
kidding. And you can see David.
It's like what happened to Steve Jobs with the Apple, you know, with his first iPhone.
Oh, no kidding.
And it was like, he's like, well, you know, there are a lot of people here. let's try this again, right? So it happens, right? So go ahead.
So it's like a Michigan night. It's snowing. He's got the garage open. And you see his face just go like just ashen because it's not starting. He's cranking and cranking. He wears down the battery. And then across the table, McKeel's looking at me real stern. Is it running yet? And I'm like, no. And he's just shaking his head. This is so bad. I'm like, no. This is real life. This is how it happens.
That's
it
what, doesn't what go people perfectly. Want to see.
Yeah.
And you know, and because it's like, okay, now we got to watch the rest of it to see how they remedy it, right?
They did. It took them 2 hours.
Oh, no.
They ran through every battery on every
Wait a
camera.
Minute. Did they keep it running for 2 hours to where the video was running?
For 45 minutes, they kept it running, and they finally called Uncle.
Oh, no. That's too great. Oh, my gosh.
So those are things that happen when you're doing these real-life projects. I'm sure everybody here who's built one of these cars has a story. We get to see it perfect here, and they would say, like, oh, it didn't run.
Okay,
happened.
So here's my story like that.
Yeah.
We went through this whole thing out of 66 Chevelle, and we put a new engine in it. And, I mean, there's like eight guys, you know. I mean, just like you see, you know, in the old pictures of all the buddies working on it. One of the guys' older brother came over, and he's going to show us how to get it running and tune it by ear. He has this greasy little mustache that he kind of, you know.
Sure.
What do they call it? Not a handlebar, but it was just out here, and he would grease the ends of it.
It's a fussy mustache, we call
Whatever
it.
Whatever it is, you know, right? So we finally, we get it started, but it's like, keeps backfiring through. The guy pulls up, and he goes, you get it running yet? And we go, well, it's trying to. And it kept backfiring. He goes, all right. He leans over. He goes, okay, give it a try. And he goes, Pah! And then a little flame catches his mustache on fire because it was greased on the end. And his mustache burns down. And they're like, you're on fire. And he said, where? What? Oh. And he's looking out. And he's like hitting his face. And when it's done, he has like one little short mustache and a long side. Anyway, it happens, right?
Okay, where's the video?
This was in 1977, right?
Okay, too bad.
That was a long time ago. Anyway, we've all got the stories. And then here's another one. The rest of the story, we finally got it running, and the guy with his one-sided mustache tunes it. We get it running. Nine guys pile in the car. Chevelle, two-door. We back out, turn the wheel, back out of the garage. They rerouted the power steering line wrong. And it pops the power steering line, shoots stuff onto the headers.
Oh, no.
Catches on fire.
Oh.
We could see it because there was no hood on it.
Yep.
Now you've got the fire drill with everybody trying to get out, taking their shirts off and trying to put the fire out, you know? I'm telling you what, it happens. Everybody here has experienced that if they've ever put a new
All right, I got one for you. On one of the last, it just came out like a month ago, the Barn Find Hunter. It was in South Carolina, right near where Tom lives in Charlotte. And they found a guy. He says, yeah, I know a bunch of cars. And you can do that in a southern accent better than I can.
I know a bunch of cars are.
Anyway, they go through the woods. And they're bushwhacking through this thicket. And it's really hard to get through, hauling the cameras. And they filmed all this, of course. And then they get through this barn that is, like, leaning over and about to fall over.
Oh, no.
And in there, they finally get in. They open the door. It's a 48 Cadillac.
Oh, wow.
And the thing's amazingly complete.
Really?
But it's been sitting there for decades. And they decide, well, let's see what the engine looks like, of course. And they pop the hood open.
I saw this
Did
one.
You see this?
Big old huge possum
pops out.
I was like, what? They couldn't have staged it.
No, they're totally legit.
There's a possum nest right under the hood latch where it opened. They open the hood, and this gigantic possum jumps out of the guy.
Just about ate their feet.
That's so hilarious. Possums are mean, man.
Totally mean. He liked that caddy, too.
So how are you enjoying it over at Hagerty now, man?
Well, it's been great to be able to grow, to be able to have great partners like Shell that allow us to make some of this content that we think people is really resonating.
Yeah.
Our audience has grown fourfold in the past year.
Yeah.
Thanks to stuff like that.
Wow.
So hopefully people are enjoying it. They're learning something. And we just really appreciate being able to do this stuff.
Hagerty Classic Insurance, Larry Webster, previously editor-in-chief of Road Track Magazine Emeritus. We'll take a little break and come back with more here on the Pioneering Performance Stage presented by Shell and Pennzoil. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be back in just a minute.
Maybe you're asking yourself, who is that guy in the mirror? What happened to the guy with the brass knuckle attitude? Maybe he just needs to decide, is that a tie around his neck or a leash? Join the Brotherhood of Muscle with an available 485-horsepower Dodge Charger or Dodge Challenger GT, the world's first all-wheel drive two-door muscle car, at the Dodge Drive and Discover event. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
All right, coming up next, we have a guy that I won the Baja 500 with back in 2006, Larry Webster. Now at Hagerty, he was the editor-in-chief of Road and Track magazine. Good to see you, brother. He was also at Car and Driver. That's where we were when we raced the Baja 500 with Team Hummer at the time.
That was a fun time, wasn't
it? That was a fun time, bro. I'll tell you what.
And you brought it home. Lucky for you, we would have been stranded in the desert.
Yeah, you say that now because you left me out of the article. One little thing. Yes, Larry Webster wins Baja 500. Hey, Alan Taylor was there.
He who writes history, there's some famous quote about
I've
that,
I've never
correct?
Let you forget about that. It's so funny.
Well, wait, I'm curious. What have you seen here that's really blown your, you know, your knockers off?
My knockers? I don't know. I haven't seen anything that's done that to me yet. But, no, actually, I haven't seen it. I want to see it. Is the pickup truck. It's like a 30s, maybe 40s.
I know what you're talking about.
The one with the radial engine on. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's a guy from Colorado. I think his name's John Korn. Lives in.
I think, let's see, he's from Colorado. His name's John Korn. I think I saw it.
And he owns a salvage yard.
No way. I like him already.
He scraps about 200 cars a month.
Wow.
And he built this thing, and he's just screwing around with it. He's having a great old time.
Amazing. So, there. You know what? I mean, it's such eye candy. I mean, look, well, the Venom F5 sitting right there. I've been staring at that for the whole week. That's pretty awesome.
I think the every year I come here, and the creativity, the ingenuity, and just the passion that you see, it just every year it kind of puts me on my knees.
I know.
It's just it's incredible.
Well, I mean, it's a hard act to follow with Wade Kawasaki. He had all the numbers and stuff, but I mean, clearly, that guy's job ain't easy because look at he's got to do better next year, and it keeps getting better and better every year. Imagine trying to better what we've got here. That's what they want to do. They want to keep making it better and better. So, like I was saying before, remember when the buses used to park here?
Yeah.
This was a bus parking spot all down the way where all the buses to the different hotels. And now we got the Shell Pioneering Performance Pavilion.
And the amazing thing about this pavilion is there's the new, there's that Hennessy car. There's the McGee Roadster. It's like the original Roadster. And then behind it, I don't know if you guys got a chance to see the Delwert. No, it's a Schumacher Top Fuel Dragster, the Pennzoil car. And then the Pennzoil Pikes Peak racer that Rod Millen drove to a record. Did you ever see that thing run?
No, I saw a snippet of it on YouTube. You know? The problem is my wife's trying to sleep, and I was like, bam! I was like, oh, sorry, honey. 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, totally violent. I was there the area run. It was just still to this day, I remember it went by, and it shook my lungs, and it just didn't look real.
Yeah,
it was so incredible. So,
Well, we sit here in this amazing spot thanks to our friends at Shell and Pennzoil. And you have had an interesting career. What are you pointing at?
I want to point out, did you guys, who's ever here, go over there and see that rabbit with the LS V8?
What?
Yes.
A Volkswagen Rabbit?
It's right over there. It's a Volkswagen Rabbit. And not only that, not only does he put a V8 in it, you should see the inside because he sort of integrated some of that plaid fabric into the interior, but in a really unique, tasteful way. He's just put these touches in there. So the fit and finish of that car is way above just a V8 Rabbit. I mean,
wait a minute.
Amazing.
And to talk about that kind of a thing, have you seen the Toyota Prius with the Hellcat engine?
No, where's that?
Yeah, I saw it again on Facebook at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's somewhere in
there.
Oh,
that's a phantom. Did somebody really do that?
No, it's somebody really did it, right?
Amazing.
So, yeah, these people in this building can do anything, you know? Now, you went from being the editor-in-chief of one of the most iconic automotive magazines in the world, Road and Track, over to Hagerty.
Yeah.
We need to explain to the world what is happening
with
Hagerty and Hagerty Insurance and Hagerty Magazine. And I mean, they didn't bring you and a bunch of other of our buddies over to just have a good-looking guy sitting around. You're doing something big over there.
Yeah, so Hagerty insures a little over a million enthusiast cars. It's anything that you don't drive daily is part of the Hagerty family. And part of one of the things that's very important to the CEO, McKeel Hagerty, is to serve the community that he operates in. And part of that was to create a media arm that can entertain, inform, and connect not only just the customers, but the whole automotive community. So we've expanded the magazine, which will start coming out in about a month. We do these great videos with in conjunction with Shell. I don't know if you guys have seen them on YouTube. Please go check them out. They're Barn Find Hunter videos. And we have more coming next year. So Tom Cotter goes out and he finds these incredible cars that are hidden and forgotten. And he brings it back to life.
Talk about a great job, right?
Oh, well, I mean, how many people could do it? He's got so many connections. He's so good at we could airdrop him anywhere in the country. And within, I bet, 4 or 5 hours, he'll have something incredible that he finds.
Hagerty Classic Insurance, Larry Webster, previously editor-in-chief of Road & Track Magazine, Emeritus. Did I
Emeritus,
say that?
Yes.
All right, Larry Webster. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
All right. You let's go race it in the Baja Desert sometime.
Anytime.
All right, I'll be right back. We got another special guest coming up.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, everybody, here we have Amy Jo Hatcher and Austin Hatcher Foundation.
Yep.
Near and dear to my heart, as you and I have talked about before.
Yes, thank you.
And you now have a dear friend of mine working with you.
We
Mr.
do.
Gary Bennett, who was at Barrett Jackson for 20 years.
Yes.
And so give us the update.
Okay. So obviously, thank you so much for your support over the last 2 years.
My pleasure.
It's been amazing since my first time on stage with you. So I'm getting a little bit used to
it. We both cried.
Yes. I'm getting a little bit used to talking into a microphone.
There you go. Well, first, start by telling people, what is the Austin Hatcher Foundation?
Absolutely. So the Austin Hatcher Foundation was formed. We're actually celebrating our 10-year anniversary this year, so we're really excited about that. But Austin Hatcher was my husband and I's first son who passed away to pediatric cancer. Through our experience of dealing with these deficit, we realized that when a family goes through a pediatric cancer diagnosis, there's so much more that happens than just your child being in the hospital and the fear of them not surviving.
Right.
So there's this huge gap of services across the country that we're not being met. And so that's what we do. We focus and erase the effects of childhood cancer, but not only on the child, the siblings, and the parents. So we take that family unit and embrace them. So we've been doing this, like I said, this is our 10-year anniversary, serving 70,000, about 28 states and 38 hospitals. So we're really excited about where we are.
Well, you're going to have my support as long as I'm around. And the fact that Gary joined up with you guys, Gary Bennett, who is a dear, dear friend, and it just keeps for me telling me it's affirmation that I did the right thing.
Yeah.
And that you have to feel like that every day with what you guys do, knowing that so much pain and so much sadness, so much unexplained things that go through the mind that you guys can kind of help, just help that somehow.
Absolutely. It's one of those where I know 10 years out, this is our son truly was put on earth for a special reason.
Yep.
And selfishly, yes, I would definitely love to have him instead of being here. But I can tell you that the impact that we have on children's lives is amazing. And we're really excited because we have actually expanded into an industrial arts division.
Oh, really?
So, again, we get 80% of our funding through the automotive and motorsports industry.
Right.
Of course, being one of SEMA Care's charities.
Nice.
Official charity of IMSA through the WeatherTech Championship Series, different things like that. But another unique program we started this year, we're actually going to be doing brain training for these kids who have, they call it chemo brain, and it's literally putting them on a driving simulator. We're working with iRacing and coming up with programs to help them through their memory loss, their thinking processing skills to improve them. And we've got a couple race car drivers that are working with us as spokespeople. And then working actually with Hot Rodders of Tomorrow, because these kids lose dexterity skills, fine motor skills. So we're going to be building and disassembling engines in our facility.
That is so awesome.
Yeah, we're really, really excited because, again, these kids have so much that they're dealing with outside of a terminally ill disease.
Right.
That this is a fun way for them to be able to have therapy. They don't even know they're going through therapy.
Which I was going to say, that in itself, that therapy of having fun is correct, the most important therapy of all.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And being able to do team building for their families, because so many of these kids lose that fun of just being a child because of having to be in the hospital. And they're going to be able to do that with their siblings and their parents and just be able to step back from where they are and just have a diversion and learning a really fun life lesson. So yeah.
It's been a long, hard road, hasn't it, to get to where you guys are?
It's been a lot of work, yes. And I'm very fortunate enough that I've been able to, but I work full-time as a volunteer. We have, obviously, all of our clinical staff is paid staff, but we have done this through supportive partners like you, partners in this industry. That this is why SEMA is so fun for me, is because my family in the racing and automotive industry, we're able to go by and say thank you to everybody and volunteers all across the country.
And it's funny, you know, as silly as it is, it's a car business, right? But it's so much more than that for all of us.
Oh, my gosh.
Even having you here and the Austin Hatcher Foundation of what you guys do, it is the support a family offers. So many people don't have that support.
Mm-hmm.
So this community comes together and rallies together. That's what's so important about this whole thing. The cars are just the conduit to bring us all together, to share our experiences, our lives, our love, our money, our lives.
Passion.
Yeah.
It truly is. It's the glue that holds all of us together to have that one single entity that we all love the same way.
Yeah.
This is such a fun show for us, and we're so fortunate to be able to have partners like you, partners like SEMA, the manufacturers. I mean, it's unbelievable.
So is your husband Jim?
Jim, yeah.
Jim, where's Jim?
I know.
Right? Big Jim.
Yeah. So Jim is my husband. And yes, so like I said, I'm fortunate enough to do this as a volunteer. He's a physician full time. We volunteer at
I did not know that.
Oh, yes. So he actually is a spine surgeon.
Oh, my God.
And so, yes.
I thought he was like a potato farmer. He's a spine. He's about 6'9".
Yes, he's a very large man.
Wow.
So, yes, he's actually a spine surgeon. And he's actually home working and taking care of our other three children.
That is so awesome, right?
Yeah, he's awesome.
What a mensch.
That's right.
Which is a man's man. I love that. How old are your kids now?
So we've got a 10, 8, and 6-year-old.
Nice.
Yes.
Right?
So Halloween was really fun.
I'll bet. Were you here during Halloween?
I actually stayed home.
Did you?
Yes.
Good for you.
Because it's just like that. Things that I could have easily been here, but it was one of those moments where I'm like, they're little for a short period of time, and they still want me around, yeah. So I'm going to take advantage of that.
My little baby's over there. He's 30 years old. He's got a beard now.
Oh, yeah.
And been married for 7 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's what happened.
Yep.
So,
do you have grandbabies?
I have one on the way.
Oh,
number one,
congratulations. That's
so,
fantastic.
The gray hair is going to be fitting now, you know? Well, so what else do you want the world to know about Austin Hatcher Foundation before we say goodbye? Because I know they're teeing up somebody else.
Yeah, it's a unique organization. I know there's so many other cancer organizations out there. But just to take that second to read what we do, who we are, see what our partnerships are. And obviously, if you're ever interested, just contact us. So there's so many ways to be involved. You don't have to just donate money. You can volunteer. You can do all sorts of things.
Well,
so
I'll tell you what I've done for the last few years is I've donated commercials. I'm on the radio on 100 radio stations. And what I found out, by the way, is that some of the radio stations that I'm on play your commercials in other times throughout the day as a public service announcement.
Oh.
So I'm on here on Saturdays in Las Vegas, but my brother-in-law calls me the day. He goes, man, I hear that commercial all week long because it's a public service and it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And the radio stations, thank God, you know, they're smart enough to know we don't have anything sold right now. Let's play one of this, and that's a good one.
Yeah.
The Austin Hatcher Foundation. Thank you, Amy Jo.
Thank you very, very much. That's fantastic.
All right. Austin Hatcher Foundation. All right, I'm going to take just a moment's break and be back. This is the Pioneering Performance Stage at SEMA 2017. Be right back.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
Let's say you want to make a DIY repair on your vehicle. Where do you go? Where do you turn for advice? Alan Taylor here. If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider the source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do the job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Available at most auto part retailers or at Haynes.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you guys know I've been hanging out at a big trade show, at least on the radio, for about the last month. And you get to hear some of the shenanigans I got to do. And it was a lot of fun. But the LA Auto Show was last week, and I did a symposium with Entrepreneur Magazine. And I do a radio show for Entrepreneur also. It's called Entrepreneur Weekly. Hope you check it out. You can go to entrepreneur.com to find it. But I am a car guy, you know, to the bone. And I was talking about this whole symposium thing was a kind of thought leadership. And I thought, you know, if you look at the auto industry and where it came from and the grandfathers of the auto industry, they're all entrepreneurs. I mean, look at, you know, like Carl Benz. He developed a petrol engine back in 1878, founding Benz and Company in 1883, built his first motor car 1885, 1886. Amazing, right? Then you got old Henry Ford. 1896, he built his first car. He wanted to lift the drudgery off of the farm life and became an engineer in Detroit. But in 1896, built his first car. Ferdinand Porsche. There's a story right there. If you look at the names, you know, Ettore Bugatti, born in Milan, Italy, was designing for D. Dietrich before he was 21 years old. So he was a designer. And in 1910, built the first Bugatti car. He also was known for wearing bowler hats and affected some sort of shoes called digitated shoes. So now the auto industry has its effect on fashion. Again, these guys all were entrepreneurs. How about David Dunbar Buick applied the money that he made from the invention of the enameled bathtub to develop his first car engine with an overhead valve? 1903, organized Buick Motor Company, another entrepreneur. Louis Chevrolet, Swiss racing driver who came to the U.S. in 1900 to sell a wine pump he invented. Yes, Mr. Chevrolet. Again, another entrepreneur. How about Andre Citroën? Remember the old Citroën front-wheel drive cars? 1919, he developed that company. Oh, yes, he died in his front-wheel drive car. We're sponsored by Dodge. And if you look at Horace and John Dodge, they were machinists and cycle makers. They built transmissions for Olds in 1901 and 1902, then made chassis and engines for Henry Ford. And then they sold their shares to Ford for $25 million and founded the Dodge Brothers Company. And today, I'm just getting ready to take delivery of my new Dodge Demon. That's right. 840 horsepower. So I look at the auto industry and I go, my gosh, it is all entrepreneurs. And you got to look at today. The people like, if you look at some of these wild and crazy guys, like Enzo Ferrari. He was born in 1898, lived all the way till 1988. But he built cars because he needed to make money to do what he loved to do, which was race cars. Again, entrepreneur.
And if you look at the auto industry today, I was about to talk about Elon Musk. Some people think the guy's a nutball. Some people think he's absolutely brilliant. The cars are pretty amazing. Now, whether he has unorthodox ways of doing things and talking to the media and all the rest, history will tell whether or not that guy is another one of those genius, brilliant entrepreneurs. But he is simply an entrepreneur. So I gave a really pretty fun talk with some other folks from the auto industry. I had Miles Kovacs there, who founded Dub Magazine. I had James Bell from Kia, because Kia has the new car out called the Stinger. This whole conversation about the LA Auto Show was born when I was at the Kia Stinger unveiling. They do this thing where they show the auto journalists the vehicle ahead of the car coming out. And they were talking about how they had developed this car, and they thought, you know, Kia is one of those car companies. They're doing really well. They're topping the charts with J.D. Power and Associates. You know, they're number one 2 years in a row over everyone. So this whole conversation started with, they said, you know, we got the head of engineering from BMW, the M Series, the performance division. We got the design guy from Audi, and we got all these different people. And then we shared our tribal knowledge. And I thought, wow, that is so dang cool. Because at the end of the day, as we do this radio show and we're sharing our collective wisdom, our tribal knowledge, you might say, that's what it's all about. As soon as I learn it, I want to bring it to you guys, show you what I've learned, talk about it. Does it make sense? Is it good for me? Is it good for you? Is it good for the environment? You know, that's what it's all about, sharing that tribal knowledge. So I'm glad that I could do it. Whole lot of fun doing it for the last 40 years of my life, and I appreciate you guys for listening. That's about it for this week's show. I'll be back next week with a regular show. See you then. If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.